in the studio, and we'll be talking about cancer because February 4 is World Cancer Day. Cancer conversation on Nigeria Info will be very constant today. So we have other cancer conversations on other shows on Nigeria Info all through the day because it is World Cancer Day. So this is, we're starting with that right now on the show. Many thanks to you. You can join the conversation on Facebook and YouTube. We're there also on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM on Twitter. Tweet me, let me know if you got questions around cancer. I have a very able mind in the studio and I will try and give you answers to your questions on cancer this morning. You're welcome to join the conversation. So let's start. I have Dr. Modupe Elebute in the studio. She's the CEO and co-founder of Marcel Ruth Cancer Center and a specialist hospital. Dr. Modupe, good morning to you, ma'am.
Good morning, Sheriff. Thank you very much for having me on your program.
It's good to have you here. How was your night?
Very good, actually. It's been a busy few weeks where we've just started our opened the doors to our hospital and specialty centers. So there's been a lot of work, a lot of moving of equipment.
I know.
Getting the team together.
Right.
And in particular, that's actually quite topical for us. This starting that we're getting open at this particular time when Cancer Day, and actually indeed it's Cancer Month which kicks off today, and we spend most of our time making sure that we're in a position to start receiving patients to look after them with to an excellent standard. And this month, each member of the team is focused on the mantra of I am and I will. I am Dr. Modupe Elebute. I'm a consultant hematologist by specialism, and as you said, CEO and founder of Marcel Ruth Cancer Center and Specialist Hospital. And I will ensure that our hospital provides the best care to every single patient that walks in through our door. That we look after them not just in terms of diagnosing, which is a big issue in this country. We'll talk about that later.
We will.
And providing every form of treatment possible on one site. We pride ourselves in having developed a comprehensive one-stop shop. And we're also focusing and launching a screening program.
What does that mean?
So the issue with cancers in this part of the world and in most developing countries is that the majority of patients with cancer present quite late when the cancer is already spread. And with the best will in the world and with the best treatments, you're sort of chasing what is already a big problem. And the chances of getting that patient cured are very small. But with cancer screening programs... and early detection, there's research that shows that we're now able to cure the majority of patients if they present early. So our focus now is to really do our best to change the narrative in Nigeria and most of the developing world to educate people that yes, cancer is going to occur, like malaria will, like COVID will. But what is important is picking it up early, accessing treatment quickly. And in that setting, we will have a fighting chance of actually curing the majority of patients that we see, which will be fantastic.
We'll come to the issue of early detection and diagnosis much later on. But for people listening to us, especially the lady who is just in a shop opening up right now, how would you, in layman's language, explain to her what cancer is? And then we'll move on to what breast cancer is.
So cancer, by definition, is a collection of abnormal cells. The body, for some reason, switches from producing normal cells in a particular area of the body, be it breast or lung or prostate, And instead of producing those cells in the normal way, something happens that makes those cells become abnormal.
Mm.
And when you look at them down the microscope, there are different ways that they become abnormal, which becomes a bit more technical.
Mm.
But essentially, that's what cancer is. It's a group of cells that are no longer being produced in the normal way, the abnormal cells. And then the way that some of them secrete proteins that then destroy the organ that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly some of them travel within the bloodstream to other parts of the body and then cause more damage. And then when they spread, so when they're in that organ where they started off from and they remain there, that's what we call early stage cancer.
Okay.
And when they spread to a distant area, then we say that's metastatic cancer.
So this
cause them to spread or are related to the why they spread are if the person hasn't sought medical care and gotten that local problem sorted out. So there's time for the cells to spread.
Okay.
There are other things that make it more likely that the cancer may spread.
Okay.
The type of cancer, the type of cells, because some cancers are just more aggressive than others.
Okay.
And also, particularly if you have a family history of that particular cancer, then you're more likely to have a more aggressive form, which again is more likely to spread. Not always, if it's picked up early, but if it's not, then a family history, the delay in getting treatment, and the type of cancer that it is are the reasons why cancers could spread.
You know what? If you've got questions for my guest this morning, feel free to drop your questions for us on Twitter at NigeriaInfoFM with the hashtag NigeriaInfoMCF. I have a feeling that you've got a lot of questions on your mind, so feel free, drop your questions and we'll come to them. If you leave everything to me, I have plenty of questions, so we will not get your own. But once you drop yours, I can come, take them, then I have my own for doctor. And then we'll come to yours as well. You can call in as well. We'll take your phone calls, take your questions, or just drop it on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. Even WhatsApp is there for you to drop your questions. Doctor, you said something earlier that, you know, cancers, cells developing abnormally. What causes that abnormal cell growth?
Okay, so in quite a number of cases, we don't really know. Historically, cancers were caused by people who were exposed to large amounts of radiation. So if you remember your history, the Hiroshima bomb, for example, in Japan, there are drugs that can cause cancer, you know, chemical exposure, people who work in that industry. And like I said, family history. So that means there's some kind of genetic issue that somebody has that is carried within the family that can make you more predisposed to cancer. And in particular, in breast cancer, there's been obviously the very celebrated story of Angelina Jolie, whose relatives had breast cancer, and she chose to have made a very brave move, really, to have bilateral mastectomy. Yes, in some ways, you say quite brave, and I, you know, but in the other, on the other side, I think if you're a woman with young children, who knows that you have this very strong family history, and also these days, we have special tests that we can do to look at what is this gene that is causing the cancer in the family. And I suspect that's what she had done.
Okay.
And which was already shown that in her, it was positive, and that she will more likely than not get cancer further down the line.
Right.
So of course, I think you know, yes, it's brave, but on the other side, I suppose I can understand it as a woman having young children.
It was a smart thing to have done at the time.
You think, well, you know, and something might as well prevent this as much as I can so that I can live a full life to be there for my family.
Let's talk about early diagnosis. How early can this be done? What is early in early diagnosis?
So early is, obviously, the earliest is when the cells begin to form, and usually, typically, in whatever organ they are, they begin to form a lump, let's call it that, right? So breast cancer is what we're talking about this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
That is the sort of real example of a lump forming.
Right.
And being able to be detected if a woman pays attention to examine herself on a regular basis and in a particular way to see whether she has lumps in her breast, whether they're new, whether there's a problem around her nipple, whether she's got a discharge. And all those things should trigger an alarm.
Can you go over those signs and symptoms again?
So what is important is that a woman, whether she's, you know, before menopause, you should really do the breast examination about 3 or 4 days after your last period.
Okay.
Because the breasts are less tender then.
Okay.
And you examine yourself first by looking at the mirror to see whether there's anything that looks abnormal. And then you're supposed to lie flat on the surface and with the palm of your hand go through the different areas of your breasts in a sort of methodical way and just feeling to see if you can feel a lump.
That's any swollen, any solid mass?
Yeah, exactly.
Anything that is hard in the...
Yeah, it might not be hard.
Okay.
Not all lumps are hard. If they're hard, then there's a problem.
Okay.
Or there's more likely to be a problem.
Okay.
The breast itself is is a glandular tissue.
Right.
So you can have breast lumps that are not cancer.
Okay.
So having lumps in the breast in a woman is not unusual. And in particular around period and so on. What is important is if you examine yourself regularly... Mm-hmm. You can tell whether there's a difference, whether the lump is getting bigger,
right?
Whether there are more than one lump, and whether there's just been a change in how it feels. And in particular, if there is other things that you see around the nipple,
right?
Whether it now seems to be attached to the skin and stretching the skin a bit more than normal. And definitely if there's a discharge, when it's not that you've had a baby and you're producing breast milk.
There are
cartoons on websites. If you like Google, there are YouTube videos that show you how to examine yourself on a regular basis.
Right.
And I would very much encourage any woman who's listening this morning to take this as an opportunity to look at those videos or those examples.
Right.
I'd also really encourage employers really to make posters of how you examine yourself, examine your breasts, and you know, just put them in the toilets, in the ladies' loo's toilets in their organizations.
Right.
You know,
right.
By doing that, you could be saving a life, really, because if the woman sees it and thinks, oh gosh, I'm going to examine myself today, and picks up this lump and accesses healthcare. And that could be... Now, I have to say that it's not every lump is cancer.
Okay.
And so it's not when you find a lump, there's no need to be... No need to panic. What is important is not ignoring it. That is what is... And that is what I see in a lot of patients in this environment. Is that people see that something has gone wrong.
Right.
They watch it as it continues to get bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe discuss it with their friends. They discuss it with their family. They discuss it at church and so on. But the last thing they do is actually go and see a doctor. When actually, to be honest,
almost
first thing that you should be doing... And
I was going to ask you, like, okay, what are the steps to be taken once you discover that you've got lump? Once you've found that there is lump there, what are the things that, I mean, stepwise, what are the things that the individual needs to do?
I mean, sometimes it's okay to watch it for a while.
Okay.
Because like I said, in women, we do have breast lumps, particularly if you're ovulating and so on. But if it's something that is really, you know, getting bigger, you should definitely see a doctor. And then, from a medical point of view, what we normally do initially is do an ultrasound scan, which is a very simple test, which is not invasive in any way. It doesn't involve any needles or anything. It's just putting a gel on the breast and with this ultrasound machine, looking at the lumps look like, where they are, what their size is, and we can most at that time, a lot of women would just sort of reassure them.
Okay.
Obviously, if we see something that we think is more abnormal, then we will request a mammogram.
Okay.
And a mammogram is a special ultrasound just for breast.
Okay.
That looks very, very closely at breast tissue, and is more capable of determining whether this breast lump is a problem or not. And in any case, I think it's one of the big things that we need to start thinking about in this environment is that women above the age of 40 and certainly above the age of 50 should be having routine mammograms.
Ah, yes. Routine. How often is routine?
So at least every, annual.
Okay.
In some countries, the guidelines are if you have the first one and it's abnormal, if you have no family history, then they may say, well, you don't need the next mammogram for 2 years. But certainly by the time you're 50, you should have a mammogram. And there are a number of places, obviously including our center, where you can now access a mammogram. And there's some, I think, even in the public sector, some drives that have been done to provide mammograms, mobile mammograms, in different workplaces or different areas. And my strong advice is that any woman who is above 50 should definitely be having a mammogram.
Yeah. Doc, we need to prepare for a quick break right now. When we return from that break, we'll talk about cancer treatment. I mean, we've started from the definition to diagnosis. Let's proceed to treatment. But before that, let me see. I think we can squeeze in one call, just one call, after this call. And then we can begin to take thoughts from our socials. Oh, wow, we can't take any call, Doc. We need to go on a quick break right now. Apologies. I can see your call. I think we're processing one caller. What do we do? Okay, let's see if we can squeeze. No, we can't. We can't. Colette, you can tell the caller to please hold on because we need to go on a break right now. Okay, thank you. Let's go on a break. I can see questions on our socials as well. Keep them coming in on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. On Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3. And on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. If you're watching, you're welcome. And thank you for joining us. Dr. Modupe Elebute is my guest this morning. And we'll be talking cancer, particularly breast cancer. We'll be right back.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, Nigeria, you're welcome back to Morning Crossfire. We're live from our audiovisual studios here on the island, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. I am Sheriff Quadri. It's World Cancer Day. Every 4th of February every year is celebrated World Cancer Day. And we've been talking breast cancer all morning. Dr. Modupe Elebute is here from Marcel Ruth Cancer Hospital. She joins us live in the studio this morning. Feel free to let her know your questions and your thoughts concerning any cancer question that you've got. And we'll be able to attend to them as we have the time right now. All our platforms are open right now for you to get back to us on your questions on cancer. It's a conversation we intend to have here all day on Nigeria Info. Welcome back to the show. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Do we still have Tunde here on the line? Tunde, are you still here?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, Tunde, thank you for holding in. Go on, Tunde.
Okay. Good morning, Sheriff, and the guests in the house.
Good morning.
My question is maybe in two parts. The first part of it is to ask, why is it very, very difficult for people to get treatment that will be very cheap for cancer, especially when it has to do with women, breast cancer, and so on? Because I discovered there are many people that suffer this and that have died of it. It's not just because they didn't. Before through the treatment is hell. That's one. that they rape that people have to go through and the chemotherapy that they will have to do before operation are so costly. Mm. I've heard of somebody who is looking for 800,000 plus to be able to do radiotherapy after the operation of cancer. Mm. Where do you think any ordinary Nigeria can get such kind of money? People are dying anyhow because they couldn't raise it. I've heard of so many people that have died of that because they couldn't raise the money. Mm. Why is government hospital where we should get access to these things are so costly? And it is not even in the private, it's in the government hospital. Why will government be charging something close to ₦1 million for radiotherapy? Why will government be charging something like 200,000 for operation and then radiotherapy after the operation? Operation itself is hell. Where will people get close to $1 million or almost $2 million
even
just to treat?
Even
yes.
More.
Yes. Mm. It's too costly. What can the government do? Please let your guests explain to us.
Okay.
Is there any other cheaper means of getting access to these things that will not be this costly so that many people will not be dying the way they are dying?
Oh. Tunde, you took the question right out of my mouth. But, Doctor, this is actually one of the questions I have planned out. Let's attend to this once and for all.
So first of all, I want to say good morning, Mr. Tunde, and thank you for, honestly, the real question in this matter. This is the real question in this matter. And I share your frustration. I don't know whether it's due to a personal experience. Mm. But yes, there's a lot that needs to be done in Nigeria to ensure that people get access to treatment quickly and get access to treatment full stop. Obviously cancer, because this is Cancer Day, but I think in general there's a big issue in terms of people getting access to treatment. There's a lot that should be done in the public sector, that's for sure, and obviously, I can't speak for them, but yes, the message has to be clear on this day to the government and to everybody in the public sector who are developing policies around this and who are implementing policies around access to care for cancer patients. It's crucial. It's needed. And as you say, even in my clinic, it's very, very difficult watching young women who have young families who are unable to access the care that they need. And also, the issues are not even just about treatment. Even the diagnostic tests, they're expensive. Mm. And then when you get to treatment, the drugs are expensive worldwide, Mr. Tunde. That's why cancer treatment is expensive. And the biggest issue for us is that radiotherapy. Yes. We're supposed to have, in population statistics, one radiotherapy machine per 100,000 of a population. That's the international guidelines.
Yeah.
In Nigeria, we have 200 million people. And we have, at the moment, we should have about at least 1,000 machines. Okay? We now have about 5 functional machines.
Excuse me?
For the whole country. That is what is available today.
5 radiotherapy machines?
Yes. For the whole of Nigeria. That is what we have that's functioning today.
What in God's name will
I do? Yes, I mean, we're bringing one into Marcel Ruth Cancer Center, but we're a private sector organization.
Yeah.
But we're bringing one in because we see the gap. Apart from all that, apart from the fact that the equipment isn't there, the other big issue, Mr. Tunde, is the skills. Okay, so I've just returned from working in the UK for over 30 years.
Right.
And what I will tell you is that the skills to manage these patients and to look after them in the right way is really lacking.
Oh.
And every day, every doctor that we hire is looking for how they're going to leave the country, to go to Canada, to the UK, to the US, to go and do their postgraduate training.
Mm.
We have to begin also by changing that this whole issue of everybody, you know, leaving.
Wanting to leave.
Yes, because if we don't have the skills, and of course we need the equipment, and I think that really there are a number of NGOs, actually.
Yeah.
There are positive sides to this story, Mr. Tunde. It's not all doom and gloom. There are a number of non-governmental organizations run by amazing individuals.
Right.
We have already registered a foundation, so we're going to try and do our best to help as well.
That's brilliant.
But honestly, there's a lot of work to be done. I share his concerns.
Yeah, really. We're going to jump on this call. Let's see who we've got here. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Taiwo.
Welcome, Taiwo.
Yeah, thank you very much. Concerning the cancer.
Taiwo, can you speak out? We can barely hear you.
Okay. Concerning the cancer your guest is talking about, but I want to go back to that another cancer treatment. What do you mean by when they say someone has a cancer of the liver? And what are the possible treatment for cancer of the liver?
The possible treatment for cancer of the liver?
Yeah.
Okay.
What causes it?
What cause?
Okay.
All right.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Taiwo. Cancer of the liver is not very common, so I will hesitate to make too many comments on that diagnosis. Typically, usually, if somebody has cancer in the liver, it could be that it's cancer that's spread from somewhere else.
Okay.
So that's one thing to just be aware of. But if you're talking about primary liver cancers, the things that cause primary liver cancers are, for example, people who have drunk a lot of alcohol over a long period of time,
okay,
who develop something we call liver cirrhosis. So the liver isn't working so well, and that predisposes to liver cancer over a period of time. Some viruses, like hepatitis viruses in the body, if they've been in the body for a long time, that can predispose to liver cancer. But like I said, primary liver cancer is not that common. What usually it tends to happen, especially in this environment, is that it's the fact that the cancer has spread from somewhere else.
Okay.
So the commonest cancers are, as we said, breast in women, prostate in men, colorectal cancers are common, cervical cancers are common, lung cancer, not as much, and then lymphoma is a common.
Mm-hmm.
But primary liver cancer is not that common.
Okay.
So I would be careful to make sure that whoever has been given that diagnosis is seen by a good cancer doctor, and that they ensure that it's not because it's come from somewhere else. Mm. I hope that answers your question.
All right. Let's take another call. Nigeria Info. I think we lost that. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Yeah, very good morning, Sharif.
Good morning.
Good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
You have Shukri Buka on the line.
You're welcome.
Doctor, honestly, I am glad to hear you say we have up to five. As of 10 years ago, we had only three, to the best of my knowledge. And out of those three, I think one got spoiled. It was said on air, and even by my doctor friend, that the machine we had even 10 years ago was just three. So if we have five now, that's a lot of improvement, if you ask me.
Okay.
The shame on this country called Nigeria.
Thank you, Chukwuebuka. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Morning to you.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about this breast cancer.
Okay.
This is Kayode from Ogun State.
Good to have you.
I have a sister. She's so young, at the age of, 30 years now. So she's having this cancer since about 3 years ago, not knowing to what that this is cancer that she's suffering from. And I took her to Federal Medical Center in Ogun State.
Okay.
Yeah, in India by last month. So then they diagnosed her and they said it's a breast cancer. And we were about to go and started treating this thing. But what doctor just said this morning made me scared. And about the money we are going to spend. Even as I was talking to you, my head is not even in that thing. This is what we are going to face. So I just want to know, because the kind of treatment they said that we should go into, we need to buy something like 50,000, some drug they wrote to us that we should just, first of all, administer that one.
Wait, hold on. What's the treatment they've told you that your sister would have to undergo? Do you have the name for it?
They just give us...
Did they tell you the kind of cancer that she has? Were you told?
Yes. It said it's breast cancer.
Breast cancer.
Gave it a name. Yes, okay. Breast cancer.
Okay.
And she's been carrying it for long. So
you said about 3 years.
3 years. Not knowing that this is what is happening. But
okay.
The money that we are going to be spending, according to that doctor, is like 40,000 to 50,000 each time she came for that treatment.
Okay.
So, but he explained to us that day that the treatment is not that the treatment is going to cure the cancer,
okay.
But for the meantime, the virus can gather in one place.
Okay.
But what about if we don't have such amount, close to a million, to do this operation? Do we still have an opportunity? Maybe we can be managing.
Okay.
I just want to know.
All right. Thank you. Doc?
So good morning, and thank you for sharing your personal story, which is a very brave thing to do. What I want to say is, yes, you know, it's a difficult story for your family, but the fact that your sister has already been diagnosed with cancer, you can't manage. That's the, you know, I can't say it any loudly. She needs treatment. She needs treatment quickly. Otherwise, if this cancer spreads to the parts of her body, and the opportunity to actually treat it and cure it, it becomes very small. What I would like to encourage you to do, and I hear and understand what you're saying, is for you to maybe see if you, there are, like I said, some NGOs where you can apply to and who may be able to offer help in that setting. To try and provide the treatment either at a lower cost or sometimes even free of charge. I'm sure that if you do a Google search or ask even the doctors at the center that you're at, they should be able to refer you to some of these organizations. There are quite a number of organizations now over the country, across the country. The pharmaceutical companies are also doing what they can to reduce the costs of drugs to people who are unable to afford it. So there is hope. You just have to try and find where you can get the help from.
Okay. I have a question here on WhatsApp. This person says, the question is for the doc, obviously. It says, he said, mammogram, I assume, is for breast cancer. What do you do for colon cancer, aside from colonoscopy? Would it be recommended to have a colonoscopy every year as routine, if there's a history of it?
For colon cancer, the recommendations are that if you're above the age of 40, then you should think about being screened on a regular basis. If certainly there's a family history, then yes, you should be having a colonoscopy. Take advice from a doctor.
Okay.
Take advice from a specialist. But yes, if there's a family history of colon cancer, then you should not ignore the fact that you should possibly get a colonoscopy every year.
All right. Cynthia is joining us on my Jawa Estate. Cynthia, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hello to your guest.
Good morning, Cynthia.
Thinking, good morning. I'm only thinking that if the cancer management or managing those doctors managing cancer patients can come up and probably write something or go to the hand assembly to tell them every year from the health budget that they should buy one machine or two. Because it cannot be up to 400 million that they want to now go and do something else. If they can just buy two, because these are things... If the budget money is budgeted for the health system, these are things that we can see. You see the those doing dialysis go to some place, so you queue up. How much are these things, please? They should try and make it open, write openly. People, these are the things we should occupy the national assemblies for.
Not
so, well, let's do it so that especially the poor, the rich will travel out, go to India. Whether it's the cow one they put for them or not, but they will go out and have a respite. But the poor will keep dying. Please, let's do something. Let it be physically known that every year we have two or three. We can afford it from the monies that they are keeping out. Good morning.
Cynthia, very valid contribution. Thank you so much for chipping that in. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Cherry.
Morning to you.
And good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Yes, my name is Abednego.
Welcome.
Thank you. So now, here's my question. First, I would like to know, is breast cancer only is it exclusive to women alone? Then, second, Cherry, if I remember, there was some, either 8, 7, 9 years ago, when a particular advert used to run across radio stations on, I can't remember the name of the organization, on whether donating 100 naira to kick off a cancer center or something, something. I just can't remember how that stuff was supposed to be. But I would like to know what happened. Did the plan finally happen or did it fall through?
Since we don't even know the name of the organization you're talking about, it's very hard to say that. But Doc, let's talk about whether it's exclusive breast cancer to females only.
I mean, that's an excellent question. And the answer is no. And in fact, recently I have treated a gentleman or with my colleagues who had breast cancer. So the answer is no. Yes, it's much more common in women.
Right.
But breast cancer does occur in men. It's rare, but it does occur. And so the same... you know, what I was talking about, apply. Mm. So if a man sees a lump in the breast that wasn't there before, they should keep an eye on it for a short period of time. And if it gets bigger or painful or there is some discoloration or discharge from the nipple, then please, please seek medical help because it is possible in men too. Excellent question. Thank you.
Kenny is here from VI. He sent a message on WhatsApp in and he says, I have a question for the doc. I have a sister, a sister-in-law who is 19, but has been seeing a small lump on one of the breasts for a few years now. Sometimes the lump disappears. At other times, she sees it. Please, what could the doctor advise?
So in a 19-year-old, it's much likely that this is benign. So particularly in adolescence, periods, hormonal changes, lumps in breasts are absolutely normal.
Okay.
And that's what I was saying earlier. So the fact that you find a lump in your breast doesn't mean you should, you know, get really anxious or get really worried. The fact that you've said that that lump has been there on and off for a long period of time without wanting to obviously make a diagnosis on a patient I haven't actually seen,
right,
again, is much likely that this is not cancer. This is just a normal, we call them fibroadenomas, benign lump in a young woman. But if she's worried, if you're worried and she's worried, the best thing is to go see a doctor. At the least, just have an ultrasound scan, and the ultrasound scan will, you know, make the diagnosis and allay her fears.
All right. We're going to squeeze in one more call, then we close the show. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Okay. This is Linda.
Linda, okay. You're welcome, Linda. Please, you have 60 seconds.
All right, okay. Thank you, doctor. And this is quite insightful. This is a killer in Nigeria, and one or two families. In fact, I think almost every family now has a case of one cancer patient or the other. Now, my question is this. Some time ago, my daughter's school came up with a vaccination.
Today, well, as you have Dr. Modupe Elebute here. Doctor, we have to go. But let me ask you a question. Your center is just coming up, Masaru Ruth Cancer Center. What's your vision for that center?
Our vision is to provide excellent care, both from the beginning. Screening, cancer screening, which we've talked about. Diagnostics, we've got our laboratory. We've got all the imaging that we need, mammogram, CT. We can also treat patients. We can do the surgery on site. We can do chemotherapy and radiotherapy. So it's to provide a one-stop shop, essentially. And not just for cancer patients, for other patients. We have other specialists in the building. But also, very quickly, just to say that we also want to collaborate with, we've heard the issues today about the public sector and collaborating to make sure we improve healthcare for Nigerians generally.
We have to go now. Doctor, thank you so much for coming around. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Lagos, that's the show. Good morning to you. Bye for now.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.